This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. At the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane, see the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, coming to you live from Matt Foley Motivational Speakers Van down by the river. Today we've got a special guest. We've got Mark Ennis from SB Nation, among other things, ESPN Radio, two-man game. And we're going to talk a few things with him. We're going to talk about him and his professional career in sports writing and radio. We're going to talk about Louisville football and get his thoughts since he's a football savant. And also have 10 questions with Mark to see how he responds and if he's going to pass the test. The Crunch Zone's coming to you right now.
One-on-one.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today here on The Crunch Zone. And why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Well, okay. First of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that. The intro, you said the 10 questions. I didn't know there would be a quiz, so I'm a little nervous.
Good luck with that.
But I do, I moonlight like a lot of us on this. I have a regular job, to the surprise of many.
Yeah.
I think. But I work, I'm right now with SB Nation. I kind of sort of cut my teeth with Big East Coast Bias, which was a blog devoted to the entire Big East. And with all the upheaval that has sort of gone by the wayside, they just sort of these things happen. So right now I manage all of our ACC blogs. So I sort of am kind of an editorial oversight position. There will be an ACC site sort of identical to what Big East Coast Bias did. That'll be my baby whenever it is birthed.
Okay.
I will be over that. But in the interim, just sort of a contributor for college football and basketball both, and looking over our ACC blogs. And then with ESPN 680 here in town, host a two-man game a couple days a week with Mike Rutherford, Card Chronicle. Everybody knows who Mike is.
Yep.
And do pre- and post-game shows for Louisville football and basketball. So I stay busy.
And what about AAC? I mean, are you just going to – the fans want to skip over this year. Are you just skipping right over it and going straight to ACC?
Yes. I mean, obviously, I'll be paying attention to Louisville, but I enjoyed my time focusing on all the Big East schools. But I, for what you know, it's maybe it's not fair. I don't know, but I cannot make myself like dig in to Houston and Memphis.
Yeah.
When they're
going to be gone.
So I mean, I'll be concerned with Louisville. I'll kind of watch the opponents. Obviously, I think it would benefit Louisville this year. Some of these teams were good. New members in particular, I can't. So I'll just focus on the ACC, which is kind of my job now. Anyway.
Yeah, and I think most fans are kind of focused on the
which is
terrible because we're on the cusp of potentially an amazing year and an amazing quarterback in his final year. It's just kind of a kick to the gut that we have to do this AAC dance for 1 year.
It is kind of a purgatory year. It's as poorly timed as you could imagine. Maybe your most talented team ever. I mean, I think you could maybe make that case against its weakest schedule since 05, probably.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with the way college football works, it's going to allow people, I think, to discount a lot of what Louisville does this year, and that's really unfortunate.
I'm glad we won the Florida game because we're going to have to ride that as hard as we can. Tell me a little bit about your nickname on Twitter, at Mingus22. We always have these.
Great.
Everyone knows each other by Twitter anymore. Like, there's no cell phones allowed. It's just like everyone has Twitter. You have everyone's cell phone in the world.
It's funny. At ACC Media Days, at their ACC kickoff, people would be like, "This is Mark Ennis. I'm a friend." So and they'd be like, "This is Mingus22. And they'd be, Oh, yeah.
Nice. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's happened a lot. It's not a great story, and it's not really a great nickname, but I'll own it.
Well, it's going to make this show, so got to play it up.
At my old day job, basically, I had a boss that could not remember my name.
Yeah.
This was how important and how much I stuck out at work. She basically thought my name was Mark Ennis until the day she left.
Yeah.
And my best friend in the world was on the same team with me, and he loved it that she couldn't get my name right. He just loved it. So he would always call me Ennis and M. Ennis on rosters and that sort of thing. So he just started calling me Mingus, and then my wife picked it up. And then, you know, nicknames, you don't get to pick them.
Yeah. Your wife calls you Mingus?
Oh, yeah. 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 And so it's stuck.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a stupid throwaway nickname, yeah. But now it's stuck. I'm stuck.
That's you.
That I've been branded, so I can't do anything.
Yeah, you got to go to the courthouse.
Yes, exactly.
You know, what's the point? You don't get called Mark anymore.
It's really a dumb nickname, but I'm just completely stuck with it.
I'm sure your mom's thrilled about your new name is Mingus.
Yes.
She's like, I kind of put some thought into that. Well, let's talk about, you mentioned the ACC Media Days, you know, Big East Media Days. You know, compare them. Tell me some things about what you're going to miss from the Big East days, what you're excited about ACC Media Days.
Well, I'll say the formats are actually pretty similar. Both when they do the formal Media Days, you get a room. They have the TV media in one place. They have Radio Row, basically like Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
Where they sort of shepherd people in and out for you to interview. They have internet media, which is where I was,
yeah.
And then they have print media. And basically what they've done is they divide the coaches. On one day, it's the coaches. On another day, it's the players. They divide them up into groups of three or four,
yeah.
And they just shepherd them from room to room. And so you'll have, for like 45 minutes, you'll have Dabo Swinney at one table and Randy Edsall at another table in just a big room, like a buffet.
Yeah.
And you just sort of go around and sit down, ask your questions and like that. So it's not like SEC Media Days, which are always televised and are a ridiculous circus.
And it's like 4 days
and there's,
or something.
Right, it's 2 days for ACC kickoff. Yeah. One day you get all the players, one day you get all the coaches.
Yeah.
But it's they're very similar. The Big East does the same thing, or AAC. No, that's the way they do it.
Okay.
But they do it on one day.
Okay.
The thing I will miss most, really, is the clam bake, which I think is famous now. You know, in the dead of summer, when it's a bazillion degrees outside, you get to fly to Rhode Island, where it's nice and mild, and they put on a very gorgeous event outside. Yeah. They cook this five-star seafood, sort of the way the Native Americans did. They cook it in the ground.
Nice.
And it's wonderful. It's an open bar, and what's nice is they have everybody together in a completely informal event. Nobody's working. There's no interviews.
Good.
You know, and you get all the administrators from every school, all the coaches, all the players, all the administration from the conference, and then all the media, and everyone just sort of
gets to know each other.
It
seems like it opens it up for the whole thing.
So then the next day, you sort of have already broken the ice with everybody.
Yeah,
And then you can sort of do your media formal
That's smart.
Stuff, and it's great. It really is. I will miss that. Yeah. The ACC doesn't have anything like that. And I don't think any of the bigger conferences where like the coaches are kind of larger than life, I don't think you can really do that.
Yeah.
But it was nice. The Big East sort of recognized we can be a little bit more accessible because people are a little more sane.
Yeah.
And so I'll miss that a lot.
Yeah. The one thing I'm certainly going to miss about the Big East is just Madison Square Gardens versus Greenville. Is it Greenville?
Greensboro.
And I saw a Tom Jurich interview, and, you know, he was talking to an ACC guy, and they're kind of welcoming him to the conference, and he just said, we're very excited, and they were giving Louisville some props, and he was in turn being kind back with some of the things, because he said, well, we'll certainly miss, you know, Madison Square Garden in the Big East, the way that event is held, assuming that the guy would just say, you know, oh, I bet it's amazing. But he said, you know, I really think you're going to like what we're doing down in Greensboro. And then Tom just said, well, you know, I'm sure I will. I just haven't been exposed to it, and I'm sure you all run an A-plus event. I can't wait to be a part of it. But it's like, did he feel like he was lying so much?
Oh. You know, the media day is at the Grandview Resort in Greensboro.
Yeah.
It's kind of secluded. It's a beautiful event.
Yeah.
The hotel's really nice.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that at the time, but the ACC's offices are just right there also.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Now, I have not seen Greensboro Coliseum where they do the ACC tournament when it's in Greensboro.
Yeah.
But it's not Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Of course, we just learned this week that Madison Square Garden's in trouble.
Yeah, it's got a 10-year window or something.
Yeah, so all of our longing for Madison Square Garden may go unsatisfied
to the Barclays
pretty soon. I you know, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
If the ACC can't do it at Madison Square Garden, maybe we're jumping ahead of questions here, but if they can't do the tournament, I would just assume they not do it.
Yeah.
Because that's the place to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Barclays is nice, but who wants to go to Brooklyn? If you want to go, you want to go right in the heart of New York City, Times Square, you want to go to Madison Square Garden. And I have never gotten to do that.
Yeah. I wanted to do it this year, and I had a chance to go, and then it just didn't work out in my schedule, and I'm... So and now it's gone forever.
Yeah, because like you know, I watching the Big East tournament final. My experience right now with Louisville basketball when it's not at home is I watch every game at the studio.
Yeah.
It's because I go right on the air for the postgame show when the game's over. So that's where I've watched every important game.
Yeah, that's right.
With the exception of the tournament games, which I was on site. The moment where Louisville started to get the momentum back from Syracuse in that Big East tournament final in the second half, and there was a timeout. I think Louisville was still down by four, but there was a huge CARDS chant in Mass. That was when I was like, dang it, I wish I was there.
That
I really do.
And championship game was just... I can't imagine the emotion after that
for
the fans and everyone.
If the ACC can't get Madison Square Garden, I would just assume they just sort of work up and down the seaboard. I don't think they need to do New York if they can't get
there. Yeah, that's true, and I'm kicking myself for not doing. I had a chance. I had a chance, and I just said no.
I never had a chance.
This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. The corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane. See the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
Let's see here. I've got a bunch of questions for you.
Lay it on me.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Louisville football.
Okay,
Michael E. Harris, how much of a factor do you think he will be? Obviously, we're loaded at the wide receiver. He's coming off many injuries. He was our leading receiver for the regular season last year. Eli passed him in the bowl game. How does he factor into the Cards this year, do you think?
You know, I think if he's healthy, he'll play. I have joked at times that Louisville really should just redshirt all the running backs and just go five, because they really have an embarrassment of riches of wide receiver. There's never been a time where Louisville's had a better group of wide receivers than it's got now.
Yeah.
And I was talking with a Kentucky fan friend. And I told him, I don't think there's one returning Kentucky receiver that would break Louisville's top seven.
Yeah. No.
Because Devontae Parker, Damian Copeland, who was really a revelation last year.
Yeah. I've never seen a guy with so many like emphatic grabs.
Yeah.
Diving, laying out through fingertips. With a defender.
Eli Rogers, and then you have Michael E. Harris and James Quick.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're talking five deep, and then Robert Clark will be there now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, plenty of options. I think if Harris is healthy, I think he'll get time. He could be Andrell Smith this year, you know, who has gone, who made a ton of really important grabs last year.
Big deep catches. He's a great blocker, too. So.
Yeah, and a big receiver that worked, you know, the middle well against linebackers and strong safeties. Yeah. You know, I think if Harris is completely healthy, he could definitely. It's funny, you look back, with the exception of James Quick, Michael E. Harris is the highest rated guy Louisville signed.
That was year one, big deal. That was where he really felt like, oh my gosh, this Charlie Strong guy is for real.
Yep.
Because there was four of them. There was like Torian Wilson, offensive lineman. He fell off.
Right.
Todd Chandler, I think he went to USF. He fell off. And then it was Michael Lee, and then it was Teddy.
Yeah, and Corvin Lamb. He didn't make it and came the next year. But look, I think that Louisville will do a lot this year of three wide receivers and a tight end and a running back. That's the ideal setup for them. And when they do, I think you'll see all sorts of mix and match sets of wide receivers
too,
based on the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Harris will be in. I think Parker will be out there all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the only one. I think they'll mix and match all the others.
And in the tight ends they have now, they've never seen before. So how much different do you think the offense might actually look next year now that he has Zeke Pike? He's playing, right?
He's
still with the school, but I'm just wondering
he played a little in the spring.
Okay. So Zeke Pike, obviously Manimal, Gerald Christian, apparently, and
Ryan Hubble will be back.
Ryan Hubble
for his senior year. So yeah,
we're deep there now.
Right, and then they signed Keith Tobridge too, so he might redshirt. We'll see. But I think Sean Watson finally has everything he likes. Watson, this is not a bad thing necessarily.
Yeah,
Watson is a little like Cragthorpe philosophy wise, where he likes to do different things with the same personnel.
Yeah.
And so having some really versatile tight ends and having a big different group of wide receivers, you know, he can do a lot of different things. And I think he really, in the last half of the regular season last year, I thought Watson sort of settled in for what Louisville was good at. I think just the health of the team sort of helped him back a little bit.
I know people kind of knocked on him with the Syracuse loss, where Syracuse played really well. But, I mean, you lose Cinerese Perry on the first quarter early. I mean, that's an adjustment that it's harder for a team to make.
Yeah, and that is funny. I look back. I just feel like that was a throwaway game.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Like, I'm not excusing anything or taking anything away from Syracuse, but I felt that coming 100 miles away.
Yeah.
And people forget, you know, Syracuse, hurry-up offense, and Lorenzo Malden had been hurt against Cincinnati. B.J. DeBose, I think, was suspended really for the rest of the season by that point already. Louisville had no defensive lineman for that game, and they just got pushed around. I felt that game coming. I don't really hold that too much. I don't put too much weight in that game. Yeah. And by the end of the year, Syracuse was actually a pretty decent football team.
Yeah, yeah, they were. And their quarterback, he was drafted too,
yeah,
right?
Ryan Nassib, yeah. Yep.
So just, you know, this is something that has not happened, but there's obviously a lot of talk about Michael Dyer. Michael, right?
Yeah.
Is it Michael Dyer?
Yep.
And then, so he is MVP of the championship game?
The Auburn-Oregon BCS championship game from 2010.
So he's coming in potentially for Louisville. How much can he really help? He's obviously awesome, but we were number one, I think, Cards were number two in red zone offense last year. So how much does he actually move the needle versus the risk he might bring?
Well, I think...
And by risk, I want to get that clarified. I'm not just talking about some of the off-field problems, because those have been documented. Hasn't been charged with anything, but there were some off-field problems, but also maybe morale to the team. So.
Well, I don't think he'll hurt morale. I think that for whatever people talk about that sometimes, players like when there's like really good players on the team. So I think, you know, for the most part, I think he'll be embraced.
Okay.
But that... Maybe that's a risk. I don't think so. Okay. I really don't. I think that it might mean, for no matter what they're saying publicly, it might mean Sonoris Perry isn't healing as fast.
Yeah.
Three running backs for a whole season, that is a little risky given the injury issues. And it might mean they don't think Corvin Lamb and Brandon Radcliffe are coming along in different parts of the offense as well as they wanted. Or it might just mean that he's awesome and they have room for him and they'll take a chance.
Yeah,
I think Charlie takes the mentorship aspect of being a coach more seriously than others.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen things like they just had a seminar about life after football and Ted Washington came.
Yeah.
A year ago, Larry Slade moved off the field and into that role.
Yeah.
They had like mock job interviews.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Slade's been doing tremendous.
Yeah. So I think Charlie, for whatever people mock it, UK fans mock it.
Yeah.
I think he really does value the chance to maybe try to, because if you look at Zeke Pike, you know, Zeke Pike went right down to school, got himself kicked out of Auburn. Louisville's like, you can come here, you better fly straight. And you know what he has, and we saw him tweet last week, you know, I'm really glad I'm in a place where the guy cares about me as a person.
Yeah.
So I think that matters.
Bouchel was in that category.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He kicked out of Florida, went to JUCO.
Had great grades, was a pretty much a model player for
graduated.
Louisville.
Yeah. So I think Charlie really values that, and people who haven't seen him in a while, Michael Dyer is great.
Yeah.
He is a great running back, and he would be great in this offense. And if your 1-2 punch was actually Dominique Brown and Michael Dyer, you could live with that.
Well, all right, let's do this. Michael Bush doesn't get hurt his senior year. He finishes it out. I think the Cards, you know, are in the championship game. Maybe even they win it because of they just had a great system and a great coach, and Michael Bush was a problem. Michael Bush compared to Michael Dyer. Michael Dyer is a proven MVP national championship winner. Michael Bush is obviously a phenomenal athlete. I mean, how we're going to let you do the Rick Pitino hyperbole here. And how would you rate Dyer? Same, better, worse? And he's not bad, so the worse is misleading.
Dyer is not as versatile as Michael Bush.
Yeah.
You know, they could really do a lot of things with Michael Bush,
including a halfback pass.
Right, right. He could just do a lot of different things. He was bigger. Michael Bush was bigger, so a lot more falling forward, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
Dyer is shorter.
Yeah,
but he is significantly faster.
Okay,
so it just different.
So he's
players.
Got the breakaway, and Bush has got the bruises.
Right, and Dyer is the. Short and big, and I think he would be perfect. I don't know that he's as good a receiver as Michael Bush was.
Yeah,
but the breakaway speed, that sort of thing, he would just be extremely dangerous. Given the fact that you know Louisville can throw the ball, he would really keep. I mean, Louisville would be elite really at every position on offense, and that's a big deal.
And Dominique Brown is so close to being elite. You know, that guy's a problem, but Michael Dyer's a whole different level.
Oh, yeah.
So with that, what do you think about them getting Dyer to help perception of their schedule's not so good, but my Lord, this guy has won a MVP of the national title. He's their running back. We know Teddy might go one or two. Do you think that's fighting off schedule perception a little to have so much elite talent that people are having a tougher time to deny Louisville a seat at the national table if they go undefeated, I suppose, and earn it?
I doubt that that's why they're doing it.
Or how do you think the media will respond with that?
I don't think it'll make much of a difference. I think people might objectively view them as a little bit better because they know Dyer.
Yeah.
But I think nothing will be enough to necessarily overcome just how objectively bad the schedule looks on paper right now.
Yeah.
What the only thing that will really help is if the teams on Louisville's schedule this year overachieve. And that's USF beating Michigan State or Rutgers beating Arkansas again this year. You know, they need things like that to happen. They need UCF. I think UCF plays Penn State. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
You know, they need the teams in conference to win important. They need SMU to beat Texas Tech.
And historically, like at least in the old Big East, they've done well in out of conference.
Yeah,
I think the Big East has always gotten a bad rap.
No question.
You know, I think their eight teams were always like pretty much in the top 40, but never really a top 10. You know, or just here and there. And I think people kind of undervalue that. You know, when you play the bottom team in our league, they can beat you.
Well, there was
the old league
year,
I should say.
Right, there was a
obviously Louisville's well steeped in talent in football, the junior position, and behind them some seniors too. But I'm actually talking about last year's team. So who do you think Louisville's going to miss most? Is it going to be the tandem of Cupper and Mario, or will it be Bouchel on the corner?
I definitely think it'll be Mario and Cupper. Mario in particular. I think I can say it now. Like, Mario is a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a guy I know well. I still talk to him here and there. Tells me hilariously funny stories about last year's team and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think maybe early they might miss him. I wonder who kind of the leaders will be. I think Mario took his leadership role really seriously last year. And so I don't know who will do that. I have a feeling Marcus Smith is one of those guys that will be.
Yeah.
Preston Brown, too. I think those two guys are two that will step up this year in that role. But I do think they'll miss him early on. I really like putting Jake Smith at center.
Yeah.
And then trying to find a right guard instead of trying to find a center. I like that. And I think that'll work. But I do think that those are the two that they'll miss.
Is that where it's sitting right now is Jake Smith?
Yeah, Jake Smith will be the center.
There was some talk of Cameron Joyer.
Yeah, I think early on that was the plan, like heading into spring. But I think early on they just decided – Jake is better here. It'll be easier for us to make him a center, find a right guard, than try to find a center.
Okay.
So I like that. I think that's really going to work.
All right. And last question for you before we get into 10 questions. Who is the player to watch this year? We have a ton of players that are really good.
Teddy.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and say who's the surprise player. Give us a new name. Give us a name that we're like who might contribute more than kind of caught us off guard.
Well, it might be not be fair to say Gerald Christian, but I think that's probably the one. I think anytime you have an offense where you can throw from running formations, where you can line up with a tight end and still be really effective throwing the ball, that's dangerous. And I think that it's been a while since Louisville had a tight end like that.
Okay.
You know, going back to Barnage and Scott Kuhn when they were here, that's probably how long it's been.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that Gerald Christian is the guy. That's going to be really, really dangerous in this offense, given everything else around him. You're just not going to be able to key on him. I mean, you have wide receivers like that and possibly running backs now that good. You just can't key on a tight end like that. And I think that that Sean Watson would really like to use him in a lot of different ways, and I think that's big. If another name, I thought Marcus Smith really showed sort of what he's capable of in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
and I think he'll have a big year too.
Okay. And it almost seems, you know, the more we talk about these players, so Teddy Bridgewater, Gerald Christian, if Michael Dyer comes, the wide receivers that we have. Now, I know we're repairing the line, but that almost seems like an unfair amount of skill. And they're deep in those positions.
Well, Louisville could line up in a number of different ways where every skill position player, including the tight end, is a four-star or better.
Yeah.
Because you could line up with with Michael Lee Harris and Eli Rogers and James Quick or and Teddy and yeah. Michael Dyer and Dominique Brown and Gerald Christian. Like it's and that's not even
yeah.
Devontae, who was a three-star. It, like,
yeah.
It's really crazy the amount of wide receiver talent that will be out there.
But we're not going to see the points like Bobby Petrino because Strong doesn't
that's
like
just
to score
not what
like
Charlie
that.
Wants to do, no.
But
you know, I think if they begin to sniff number three or number four, just based on yeah. teams losing it, you yeah. might see that.
Just a throttle up to make the news,
just
take
to,
notice.
Just, you know, if you're within striking distance, you might as well take your chance to try to win a title.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be
yeah.
shocked. But it's not Charlie Stout. You're totally right about that.
All right. Well, that wraps up one-on-one. Now we're going to move to 10 questions.
10 questions.
All right. Let's get to it.
I'm ready.
10 questions. Beer or bourbon?
Bourbon.
What's your favorite bourbon?
I'm Four Roses guy.
Four Roses? So, yeah. That doesn't count as one of your 10 questions. Okay. That's just a follow-up.
All right.
Favorite restaurant in Louisville? Doesn't have to be the nicest restaurant, but where do you like to go to eat the most?
Well, if I can get in,
yeah.
I like Hammerheads.
Hammerheads
is
good.
That's my place. Yeah, I really love it there. But it's very difficult to get in.
I don't think it's on, like, if you look on Weight Watchers, like if you Weight Watchers online.
No.
I don't think they're a menu.
Fries cooked in duck fat is not exponential points on Weight Watchers.
Interesting menu. Text, talk, or tweet?
Well.
I know you tweet the most.
Yeah.
But if you had your preference.
I like texting.
Okay.
I won't lie to you.
Sexting or texting?
No, just texting.
I didn't hear you. I just wanted
safe.
To get that clear.
I'm a happily married person.
All right. to someone who calls you Mingus.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know? All right, next one. Yahtzee or football?
Oh, goodness. I'm so tired of that stupid Yahtzee crap.
What do you like? What would you rather play?
I would rather play football, I think.
All right.
Nobody plays Yahtzee.
I'm thinking I'm going to dig up like 50-year-old commercials of Yahtzee.
I have a
and just see
idea.
How cool it is.
I have a T-shirt idea. I'm serious. If Louisville beats Kentucky this year, I'm going to be rich, and it's around Yahtzee.
All right. Favorite UofL player all time, all sports.
Oh goodness,
that's not fair, is it?
No, that's not fair.
I'm not even going to let you do a top five
at all.
And it's okay if you know you're just like, well, this is the best I can do for right now.
I think. And I think a lot of people will gravitate this way over time. It might be Peyton Siva.
Mm-hmm.
And that might sound mm-hmm. crazy, but endured a lot. But really, if you look over the past two seasons, responsible for so much of the good that happened for Louisville basketball, I think he will continue to grow in people's memories over time. So I'd probably say Peyton Siva.
And what a wonderful
a good
person.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Favorite musical group?
I like the Foo Fighters. That's like okay. sort of my, and maybe I've shown my age just a little bit,
that's
but
okay.
they are great. And I have always liked them from the first album where Dave Grohl played every instrument. I mean,
they had you at
the
Hello.
Oh, absolutely.
Mountains or ocean?
See, I grew up in Florida.
Okay.
So I'm thoroughly over the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, I give me mountains any day.
Okay, so creepy Unabomber guy, that'll be you one day. Long beard.
I could get by like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Favorite pro team?
Tampa Bay Bucks. I
yeah.
mean, I grew up in Tampa. That's
yeah.
So if there's a pro team, that's them for sure.
Okay. Favorite college not named Louisville?
Florida. I grew up.
You're a Gator?
Yeah, I grew up.
Park Gator.
In Tampa, my dad was a huge Gator fan, so I
yeah.
grew up watching the Gators. I became a long-distance UofL fan because of Howard and Jay Gruden.
Okay.
Jay Gruden went to the high school I went to.
Okay.
And when I was a little kid, my dad was a high school official. He worked the chains. And
yeah.
We used to always work Chamberlain's games.
Okay.
And we got to watch Jay play in high school. And so my dad, like, just loved,
yeah.
thought he was a great.
He threw up great numbers a little.
And followed him on. And we sort of followed Louisville from afar with no connection there at all.
So you called Jay Gruden and said, is John really going to coach Louisville? Did you give him a call?
No, I wish I could have.
Yeah.
I never thought that was going to happen, by the way.
Okay. Well, you know, that kind of turned into Louisville's Billy. Billy
Bill
Donovan. No, in UK and Billy Donovan, the plane has
you're
been
right.
chartered.
So
oh,
right.
no, you're right. Bill Parcells, too. Both
yeah.
of them. Let's see here. I'm kind of jumping out of order of my questions. Must have tailgate food. You're tailgating. This cannot be missed. And not alcohol, it's food.
I mean, you have to have some sort of hot dog / sausage. I just think you have to.
Okay. You have to?
You have to.
Okay.
It's must have.
If you could go pro in anything, any career, sports or not sports, what would you go pro?
This is going to sound so funny. This is going to be ridiculous.
I know it's going to be.
But if I could
it's going to be breakdancing.
If I could
dancing something.
Make really good money doing it, I would love to be a PI.
Really?
Private investigator.
Yeah.
I just think that would be so much fun. I would love that.
Well, you could practice by just generally stalking people and just take notes on them. Like, yeah. Not even just say I'm doing professional.
I'm an amateur PI.
Right, yeah, now. I'm just doing research right now.
Right.
All right. Well, let's see here. Favorite U of L moment, and this year might be on the list. There's a lot of them, but it could go back to just a special game that just meant a lot to you, and it's not necessarily a title.
Well, I think the closing of Freedom Hall. And really the way that whole second half went with Kyle Keurig is one of my favorites. And I think that five-minute stretch in the first half against Michigan in the championship game with Luke Hancock, 14 straight points, and then Harrell's dunk that gives Louisville the lead. I was sitting in a section at the Georgia Dome where everyone in front of me was a Michigan fan, and they were all over themselves up until that stretch. And the first three was so pure, I thought he airballed it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, but I realized it went in. And then he hit another one, and then another one.
Yeah.
And they, like, everybody around me started to get a little excited. The people in front of me started to get all down. Hits another one. They forced the turnover, the Harrell dunk. The people in front of me just died. Like, all of them. It was just
dominoes.
when Harrell puts it down.
Yeah.
I turned to the gentleman sitting next to me. And you know how when you go to games, you make a friend immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
I just said, they're going to win. And I thought as soon as that happened, they were going to win the game. And those two moments, I think,
okay.
got the most.
Well, that wraps up our 10 questions. I'm going to piggyback off your last comment. I was at the game as well. And when I saw that happen, I absolutely thought we could win the game. But before that happened, I was like, man, because Michigan's so good on offense.
Yep.
I know we have great defense, but they just have such good offense. I'm like, you just cannot go down by 14 points against a team that can score like that. That was a pretty amazing moment. So I want to thank Mark Ennis, Mingus22 on Twitter, for joining us today on the Crunch Zone.
Appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed this.
So you're welcome.
Again, anytime.
Well, that'll do it for us this week on the Crunch Zone. Thanks for tuning in, and catch us every Monday on Louisville.am, or you can catch us on our new website, thecrunchzone.com.
Louisville first, cars forever. I promise to rep the vehicle.